Brian. Good afternoon again, everyone. I am Chad Holmes, and welcome back to Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and with the Civic Media app. Well, we have been talking, we've been waiting for a significant winter storm, but if you were out there this afternoon, early this afternoon, actually sunshine, chilly temperatures, but sunshine out there, I still think it's going to change. Just to find out, we're going to be joined right now by our meteorologist, Ray Miller from weatherology.com. Again, Ray, if someone didn't look at the weather forecast or hadn't been listening to the radio during the course of the day, not too bad out there, but that is going to change rather quickly, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, the phrase, the calm before the storm, is kind of a cliche, but that really is where we're at this point. It's pretty much downhill from here now. Winter weather advisory tonight, then a winter storm watch for Wednesday, and particularly Wednesday night. We've seen a lot of areas off to our west already upgraded to a winter storm warning, and I imagine it's just a matter of time now before the Weather Service gets on board with putting our area in that winter storm warning for Wednesday night as well. But officially, not yet. But in either case, we are looking at a significant snow event really kind of coming through in two rounds. Some light snow late this afternoon and into this evening. A couple of inches of snow as we go through the night tonight. Areas off to our west will see some slightly higher totals, perhaps of 4 to 6 inches of snow. Then a little bit of a lull on Wednesday. It never really stops snowing, but it will lighten up a little bit. 1 to 2 inches of snow through the day on Wednesday with temperatures in the low 20s. The winds start to pick up late Wednesday afternoon out of the northeast, gusting as high as 40 miles an hour. And then the really heavy snow arrives Wednesday night. 6 to 8 inches of snow, blowing and drifting snow very likely. We'll likely have near blizzard conditions at times. Temperatures falling back into the mid-teens, but again, with those gusty northeast winds, the wind chill well below zero, dangerously cold throughout the night. And snow continues on Thursday. Could see yet another 4 to 8 inches of snow through the day Thursday with northeast winds up to 40 miles an hour. So that puts us at around 16 inches of snow just Wednesday night into Thursday. That's on top of what we get tonight and into Wednesday morning. So 18 inches, perhaps 20 inches in a few spots. Not out of the question by the time all is said and done here. Then on Friday, partly cloudy skies, highs in the teens. A little bit of improvement heading into the weekend. Cloudy Saturday, highs in the mid-20s. Sunday, sunny with a high near 30. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller.
And I guess, Ray, finally, it sounds as though in addition to, you know, the incredible amounts of snow that we're going to get, the combination with the wind chills and also that blowing, even when it sounds like it's going to be a little bit lighter during the day, with those winds, it's still not going to be fun to be out there if you have to be out there traveling at all.
Yeah, not at all. We're talking about dangerously cold wind chills really beginning about mid-afternoon Wednesday, and then especially Wednesday night, Thursday, and Thursday night as well. The wind's really howling with this system, so that is going to be a concern as well, in addition to the accumulating snow and, of course, the blowing snow, which will be a major, major issue as well. As I said, could see blizzard conditions in some areas. No blizzard warnings just yet, but the Weather Service certainly thinking about issuing those. They've been mentioning that potential in some of their technical discussions, and we think it's certainly within the realm of possibility that we could have major blizzard conditions Wednesday night in parts of the listening area.
Okay, Ray, well, thanks again for all that information. I'm sure we'll be in contact with you and the other folks at Weatherology over the next couple of days, but again, we appreciate the information. We'll talk again real soon.
My pleasure. We'll be in touch.
And right now in Wausau, still waiting. Still not, you know, we've seen some sunshine. The clouds are moving in, mostly cloudy skies. Temperature of 20 degrees. Winds out of the west at 8 miles per hour. The wind chill factor is 10. Dew point of 6. Relative humidity of 55%. The barometer at 29.74 inches. And a visibility of 10 miles. The time is 3:11. Again, a quick note, as we mentioned earlier, some municipalities are announcing snow emergencies. City of Wausau begins tonight at 6 p.m., goes until Friday at 3 p.m. Weston and Schofield, Wednesday at noon until Friday at noon. Mosinee, Wednesday at 9 a.m. until Friday at 9 p.m. as well, as we expect, as we heard, anywhere from a foot and a half to maybe 20 inches of snow before all is said and done on Thursday. Well, we got about 90 seconds here. I see that she walked right in, got to her seat.
That's what I do.
The mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg. I imagine that I can't remember a snow event like this in a while.
It's been a while.
Imagine that as the mayor. Obviously, you got people.
We got people
that do a lot of great work. But what do you do in a snow emergency?
Oh, man, I just stay glued to my phone, make sure everyone's good. If you're thinking about driving on the highway when it's snowing like crazy, rethink that. How about that? I think a lot about our team, so yeah.
Do you have to make any big decisions during these kind of things, or is it pretty much where everybody has departments within the city that
know what they're doing? Knows what they're doing with these snow emergencies. I think probably the big decision I'll have to consider, and that's going to be in conjunction with our city council president, is about our committee of the whole meeting on Thursday. So we're waiting a little bit to see where we're at to make sure we don't have to reschedule that, but that's what we're thinking.
Interesting. We're going to have to take a quick time out, but we'll come right back. Talk to the mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg. Yeah. That's coming up. I'm Chad Holmes. The time is coming up on 3:13. Again, we will keep you up to date on the weather. Our folks like Ray Miller from weatherology.com, we will let you know exactly what's happening hour by hour over the next, 48 hours or so. So again, keep it right here on Bow Falls Radio. But more to come with Mayor Rosenberg here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. I play bumper music and the mayor knows exactly when it was from.
Listen, 1999, I was definitely at Lilith Fair in Milwaukee. It was delightful.
Fantastic. Yep.
Bring it back. Whoever's listening, bring back Lilith Fair.
Who's got the money to...
Sarah McLachlan's got to get tons of money from all those ads, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely. She's the mayor, Katie Rosenberg,
joining
us, a monthly visit. First of all, I want to say it is a primary election day.
Yes.
As somebody who's been on the ballot quite a bit, do you find yourself much more relaxed on a day like this?
I'm relaxed in some sense because it's not me, right? I'm not stressing. I don't have my, breakouts happening, but... I'm enthusiastic about this democracy that we have. So I'm hoping a lot more people show up to vote, between now and 8 when the polls close.
That was interesting. Earlier in the program, I was talking to I found some numbers. The last three primary elections for state Supreme Court were 12%. Ugh. 12%, and then
dismal.
16% went up.
Oh, look at that.
That was a Dan Kelly election. I said, maybe Dan Kelly gets people to the polls.
Maybe there's a Kelly bump. Is that what we're going to call it?
four judges on the ballot.
Yeah.
What do you think?
What do you think? This is big stuff. I don't know. I mean, if you just go by purely, the money being raised.
I know.
If you talk about that as support, I mean, obviously, I'm not even a Janet.
Go to see which.
Janet P.
I keep getting it wrong, but once in a while I get it right. Yeah. So it's like...
She's
the Giannis of judicial candidates.
Yes, and her ads, it's incredible. You can tell that she's kind of hearkening up to the Ruth Bader Ginsburg vibe with her lacy collar, which is intriguing to me, obviously. But yeah, I feel like if she doesn't... am I a pundit now? Feels like she's going to sweep it.
One question about this. I mean, then we can move on to local stuff. But I was talking last week... that, you can be impressed with Judge Janet and the amount of money she's brought in, but I'm still concerned about the money in politics. When you look back at the November election and how every time there's a gubernatorial race, it goes up not in a small increment, but a massive increment.
It's always historically the most money that's ever been used.
But like 50%.
It's wild.
I mean, it is wild. Are we stuck in this system where, I mean, there's no...
What else are you going to do? Do you want the people to vote for you, or do you want to have, a pure heart and go in there and not do anything? Because what happens when you don't do anything? People don't think you're serious. They use that as their, signifier of support.
Kamala Harris, when she ran for president, she dropped out before the first vote was cast because financially the numbers said to people she's not... going to be able to win.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe if we can change, we can get some campaign finance reform. Do I sound like Russ Feingold?
But that's the thing about it. I mean, that's what I talked about. Russ Feingold for years worked so hard on that issue.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, he put a lot into that time. And he walked the walk. I remember, it was Mark Newman when he ran against him. He did not accept the dirty money. He almost lost, but he did not. And now Democrats seem to have learned how to raise the money just as well as Republicans. But I'm still concerned about it. It doesn't feel like with Citizens United that there's not a will to change the law within Congress or anything.
Right.
Like that. It's depressing us.
It's hard, right? Hard to see all that. And the other thing is it gives an advantage to people who walk into it with a lot of money just to begin with, right? Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that the people you're voting for, you know, understand our lived experiences, you know, and that's not always the person who walks in with a big bag of cash, right?
Tim Michaels.
No comment on that.
Again, we're with Mayor Katie Rosenberg of Wausau here on Bow Falls Radio. Well, let's talk about what you've been up to. I know you, yesterday, the governor.
Oh, yeah.
Tony Evers paid a visit here to Wausau. What was going on with the governor?
Yeah, he did. So, obviously, last week, he gave his budget address to the legislature, and, you know, he really highlighted, and if you're a geek, or maybe this is normal now, he highlighted how shared revenue really is broken and needs to be shored up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, changing the mechanism for getting local government's money is huge. And he told me yesterday that if they were to change shared revenue in the way that he is suggesting, Wausau would get the same amount of money that we get every year, but we would increase that by $3.7 million, which is huge, especially mm-hmm. when I'm looking at things like, you know, we got a federal grant to hire more firefighters. So mm-hmm. those 9 firefighters, 3 years, this grant, the $3 million will cover that. Well, what do we do after those 3 years? Mm-hmm. Are we going to raise taxes? We're not going to cut them. We need them. It's clear. That was the argument we made. So we got to figure out how to pay for that. So this money would go directly into funding stuff like public safety. And actually, the way he has it laid out in his budget, half of that would go to public safety. So police, fire, all of that. It's critical. We need it.
It's one of the interesting aspects about how campaigns can make a difference in terms of issues that are brought to the fore. Because as you said, it used to be the
just
geeks
nerds.
Exactly that would know about shared revenue and how important it was. But I think that it really got into the bloodstream of the average Wisconsinite after
100%.
Last year.
Do you watch those Sunday morning Yap Yap shows? Because I do, and I like to follow the issues that they're talking about. We had the state superintendent of schools on there talking about shared revenue. Mm-hmm. I have never heard the state superintendent of schools talking about shared revenue on a Sunday morning Yap Yap show. And I'm so happy they are, right? Mm-hmm. Jill and Early's great, by the way. Shout out.
In terms of where you think it's going to be, because it's great to hear what the governor has to say, yep. But so often after the budget address, the first thing from Robin Voss and the Republicans is, well, we're going to start all over again.
Right.
What are you hearing?
The liberal wish list,
yeah,
all of it.
What are you hearing from the GOP and their ideas about the same issue? Because they have talked about this as well.
Yeah. So, okay, first of all, maybe I'm not hearing directly from the GOP, right? Like, I am talking to our local legislators, and I'm hearing things. Mm-hmm. But I'm especially talking to our interest organizations, like the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. And, you know, they have their finger on the pulse of these legislators. And they're saying that, largely, they agree. It's broken. They want to fix it. Mm-hmm. We're talking people not just, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of who's a liberal member of the GOP. I don't know. But, you know, I've heard good things about Senator Falzkowski, who's on the Joint Finance Committee, mm-hmm. that she has said that, yeah, it's broken. We got to fix this. So, you know, that is encouraging. And I think that's really good for all of Wisconsin, right? That we can agree on that. Now, how we fix it, that's going to be where the machinations happen and all of that. We're going to have budget hearings just like we always do. Really important. So,
what else is part of the budget address that the governor made that did you like? Because obviously, I find those, again, people, you know, it's just a budget address. But the budget is priorities.
Oh, my gosh. It's your values. It's your priorities. It's exactly, it's your plan for how you're going to deal with the next 2 years.
Was there anything else as part of what he said that you
really liked?
Oh, my
gosh, a gazillion
really
things. You're going to have to stop me. But so the first one is so obvious, it's going to slap you in the face. PFAS, right?
Yeah.
I actually wrote to him and I said, hey, can we figure out how to use some of the surplus funding that we have right now to PFAS? And of course, like, my thing is to ask big audacious requests, because mm-hmm. why not? And I said, let's do $500 million. for the whole state for the next 2 years, we can figure this out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he didn't laugh me out of the room, which is cool. At least I don't think so. I wasn't there when he got it. But in his budget, he had $100 million going towards PFAS over the next 2 years. That's huge. Mm-hmm. That is huge for any municipality. And, you know, we'll have to figure out how we continue to pay for stuff like this, emerging contaminants. PFAS aren't going to be the only thing we're talking about. We're talking Gen X contaminants next. You know, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about that priority because it's important to me and I think our whole community.
Along the same lines, I wanted to ask you about the water issue because it has been such a, you know, an important issue over mm-hmm. the last year. And I know that there was, you know, some sticker shock, I think, for some people. But you talked about looking under every rock in terms of trying to find additional funding to help out with that. Where do we stand on that right now?
Yeah, so we are still discussing what we can do, where we're going next to find those dollars. But I will say, you know, one of the cool things about last month, it's still February, right? So in January, when I went to the White House and we talked about the lead service line replacement acceleration program, I met some really great people. And we just had a meeting with one of those folks last week. And, you know, they're talking about how they can help us gather up that funding mm-hmm. through bipartisan infrastructure law, through inflation reduction. And one of the things for small cities like Wausau, you know, we don't have dedicated grant writers. We all have to, like, pull up our sleeves and write these grants. And, you know, we have some people who are more skilled in that and others that can review them. But this is really a big deal that we have folks who are willing to do part of that work and make sure that we're getting what we need to fund these programs. $80 million is a lot of money to replace a lot of lead lines, mm-hmm. right? And even better is that maybe it'll be shorter than 15 years. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the time frame because obviously when our car breaks down, mm-hmm. there's a big bill. You know, you have to deal with it. Is this something where the pain will get lower and lower because over the years? Is that the plan? Or how does that work?
Yeah, so, I mean, really what we're talking about when we talk about the water rates is more related to, I mean, we built this new plant. Mm-hmm. We got to pay for it now. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about with that increase. We're going to pay for it. You know, like, I would love to get on here and be like, yep, and we're going to lower those rates later. I don't know that that's going to be the case, right? Like, right. And I wish I did know. But it could keep other rates in future years from being extreme, right? Like, this feels extreme, and it is, but there's brand new plant to show for it. It's not nothing.
Right.
You're getting much better water. I hope people are noticing that.
Well, I was going to ask you, are people noticing that? Because you talked last time we were here that you're not, personally, I mean, you hear from people all the time, but you're hearing a lot more about, thank goodness we can trust our water again.
Yeah, that's exact. I'm still hearing that. People are really excited. And you can tell a difference in what it looks like even. I don't know if you take baths, but if you do, maybe you notice a difference in what it looks like in your bathtub,
I'm
right?
I'm a shower guy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, everyone has their thing.
That's a whole different conversation. You know?
But people are noticing a difference in the color and the quality there. So that's really great. And I'm noticing that too at home. So I'm pleased. I'm still hearing people that are happy. You know, nobody wants to pay more if they don't have to, but we're at the point where we have
to. Well, it comes down to quality of life issues.
Yes.
I mean, that's, again, when you look at local government, there are so many layers you can go through, but one of the big things is about quality of life mm-hmm. for the citizens of our community. And sometimes, as painful as it might be, you got to pay a little bit to have something that's important.
Yeah.
And it's all about priorities, as we talked about with the budget mm-hmm. as well.
Right. And, you know, I actually, it's been interesting. I've been following some conversations in other places and folks from California or Arizona or that have spent substantial time there. They're saying, wow, this is actually great quality. You can actually access the water. It doesn't get turned off.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to water your lawn still if you want to. So there's a lot going into this. And I think, you know, as the climate continues to change a little bit and our resources get a little more stretched, I think Wausau and Wisconsin, we're positioned really in a great place. So I'm hopeful that we're making the right decisions, not just for now, but for decades and lifetimes in the future.
It is so much better to be ahead of the curve than mm-hmm. always chasing it, isn't
right.
it?
Oh my gosh. I met somebody who moved here from Colorado as a climate refugee. That's what they called themselves.
Mm.
They were sick of the wildfires and they're like, I need to go somewhere where they don't have it. And they, you know, kind of spun the globe and they found Wausau. And I was like, well, thank you and tell all your friends.
Absolutely. We have to take a quick time out for a news update. Of course, it is primary election day. We'll get the latest from our civic media newsroom and also a CBS News update as well. And we'll come back and talk to the mayor of Wausau for another segment, Katie Rosenberg, as we continue. Again, I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, coming up in just a little bit, we will recap again the weather in terms of what to expect over the next...
A lot of snow.
And again, as a city official, with this snow emergency...
Don't park on the street. Find a parking lot. Find a ramp.
What will happen if they don't?
You could get towed. Yeah. It could be, you know, hopefully you'd be towed if we see your car. I remember being a kid once and our car got hit. And so you want to be careful and avoid that stuff.
And also, I said earlier, if you don't move your car, maybe you'll get ticketed. But also, when the plows go around you, there'll be 2 feet of snow on your vehicle.
You're going to be frozen in there.
Exactly.
Like some Neanderthal man in the Andes. I don't know.
So again, we'll talk about those snow emergencies and such again in just a little bit. Also, just wanted to ask you, I know that you mentioned you were in Washington last, but you were also just recently, was it this week in Washington?
It was last week, yeah. I went there for 15.
It's Tuesday. Yeah. I don't think it's Friday.
I know. I feel this whole year, I feel like I've been shot out of a cannon.
I have no idea what day it is. I think exactly the same way. But you were back in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, I was there for 15 hours. It was wonderful. I slept for four of those. But
well, Lincoln bedroom?
I wish. No. The Holiday Inn Express. You know.
Cheap Joe stuff. Had a room. Come on.
Yeah. But we were there to kind of talk about, I think it was ostensibly for Wisconsin Day, which was last week, Wednesday.
Who was with you?
Well, I was by myself, but there were some of my friends there. We had Mandela Barnes was there.
Because I saw the picture with Mandela.
Yep.
I was wondering.
Yep. We had Mayor Cavalier Johnson, Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway. It was a really good group of people. So we kind of shared the successes we're seeing in the work we're doing, especially as it relates to some of the funding, ARPA. Some folks have even started figuring out how to use the bipartisan infrastructure law money, which is great. Mm-hmm. But a lot of talk about ARPA and also the needs moving forward and some of the challenges we faced using it. So it was really good.
You talk to?
We talked to the president's staff. So his senior White House staff, which is great. Mm-hmm. Secretary Vilsack was there. Mm-hmm. Ambassador Susan Rice was there. I fangirled so hard. She name checked me and I lost it.
Oh,
but she
wow.
visited us here last October. So
very
it was
nice.
Good. We, you know, previously... existing relationship. I'm assuming we're BFFs now. So, you know, that's the kind of thing.
So,
but it was great.
So when you need a reference to become
sure.
Secretary of State,
yeah, sure.
you'll
yeah,
be able
yeah.
to ask her.
I'm sure I'm very well qualified. I do have a passport, though, just to let everyone know it's valid.
Mine's expired.
Oh, get on it, man.
I know.
Get on it.
Cavalier Johnson,
yeah.
What do you think of him? I mean, because I've heard a lot of good things about him. Down
because
obviously he's got a very difficult job in Milwaukee.
Oh, my gosh. He has challenge after challenge. But he's the kind of person that faces that with grace, with humility, just with a very level head.
Mm.
That guy is brilliant. I hope that you can talk to him at some point because he's really smart and he's got a lot of good things going. But that job is huge. You know, biggest city in Wisconsin, a lot going on. He's working with Democrats. He's working with Republicans. He's working with people that hate politics, which, you know, seems like all of us some days.
Well, that's one of the most impressive things I've noticed about Mayor Johnson is you mentioned working with Republicans because it would be so easy for any elected official in Milwaukee to just say, boy, I'm not going to talk to any. Because basically the Republican Party has used Milwaukee Milwaukee as a punching bag for a couple of decades now.
Well, and he saw that. You know, he grew up in Milwaukee. He saw that. And I think he used his administration, brand new, as an opportunity to refresh that relationship. Because you don't have to be combative all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, you can only be as good as you are with your relationships. And he's willing to use it. He'll use a little capital probably with the left. But that's okay. He needs to build up Milwaukee in a way, because Milwaukee needs to succeed for the rest of Wisconsin to succeed. We need them to succeed.
By the way, just off topic really fast.
Let's go.
Did the Democrats make a major mistake in 2020 during the middle of the DNC when they did not announce, hey, since Milwaukee wasn't able to host it this year properly, we're going to do it in 2024, and then they let the Republicans come in?
You know, I
I'm so annoyed by that.
I'm annoyed by that, too.
Because I thought back then, hey, easy to say, hey, we love Milwaukee. We want to make sure Milwaukee gets the full Democratic experience.
Yeah.
We're going to be here in 2024.
Yeah, and to quote the president, it's a BFD to have that convention with a sitting president, right? So hopefully they're able to have a couple of conversations where we can be very influential. You know, maybe we'll see.
But having the Republicans come in 2024, listen, I know it's good for the state. Yes,
do we want Wisconsin to be the political center of the universe? Yes, we do.
Yeah,
and
I
are
know.
We? Yes, we are.
I know.
We are not flyover country, my friend.
I know. But all those Republicans coming to town.
Hey, man.
By the way,
everyone's got to eat.
I know. And it's great. They spend money, too. Exactly. And what about Lieutenant Governor Barnes? Did you get a chance to talk to him at all?
I did get a chance to chat with him.
Is he resting up?
Well, you know,
because it was a real grind.
It was a grind. And, you know, he mentioned that he got to take a couple of months to himself and reflect and think about what he wants to do. And, you know, he's now traveling all around promoting his PAC.
Right, right.
You know, he's actually been in central Wisconsin quite a bit, too. He came to the Lunar New Year celebration. He was this weekend at the Ebony Ball at UWSP. So, you know, he's making the rounds.
The guy knows what he's doing. I think we have not heard the last of the Lieutenant Governor Barnes, have we?
I don't think so, but I
absolutely
hope not.
Well, let's talk again about what's going on around here.
Let's go.
We talked about the homeless issue.
Yep.
Where do we stand? What's I know you have that committee of the whole coming up, but what has the discussion been in the last few weeks since we last talked?
Yeah. So the committee of the whole. You know, we had two alders who brought it. You know, we have a committee, a council rule where you can bring a vote to have a committee of the whole.
Mm-hmm.
So two alders did. And, you know, with that, they submitted an agenda. So we're following that agenda. And I guess for me, I hope that, you know, we'll cover those issues. But I also would like to talk about what's next. What information do we need? I think there's a level of data collection that needs to happen for policymakers to make decisions, you know, understanding the scope of the problem, understanding, like, are people having problems getting housed? Are they having problems staying housed? Are they having problems, like, just even connecting to services at all?
Mm-hmm.
So I think this will help open the door to more questions, which I know is probably not satisfying to the public, but we do have some questions we need to ask, and also be clear on what we're trying to do. We're putting a lot of funding towards Catholic Charities. We're putting a lot of funding. We directed some stuff to the new CPC campus. Really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to calculate it all out. It looks like we've already kind of allocated or spent around $2 million for some of this stuff. So, you know, I think the public also will be right to ask some questions about, okay, what's next? What are
right.
we doing? How are we going to make sure that people remain housed? How are we going to make sure that this problem actually starts shrinking and it doesn't grow? Because, you know, that's a conversation that's happening too.
Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking to Mayor Katie Rosenberg of Wausau here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. This may be a little bit more of a, not a.
Hey, man, lay it on me. Let's go.
I had a friend of mine who I was talking to a few days ago and knew you were coming on the show and said he and his wife had to go to, went to Appleton, went to the mall there. Said,
yeah.
It was great, you know. And he said he heard, and I'm not sure what was it, Marshfield or Point. I think it was Marshfield is doing some renovation. And he said, we got this downtown area where the tax base isn't what it should be. We have the 400 block. What are we getting out of the tax base? Do you hear something like that? I mean, that there's a feeling that the plan is not sure what the plan is and to build the tax base.
Yeah.
Is that something that...
Heck yes.
How would you respond to something like
that?
Yeah,
no, I think people are fair to be impatient about this, right? I think conversations started about the mall in 2019. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the council put in $1 million to help purchase the mall. And then, you know, when I came on board, we put in, I don't know, however much to help demo the mall. And we're talking a lot about streets and we're talking about phase one apartments, right?
Right.
So that's coming. It's just, I feel impatient about it too. It's 8 city blocks in the middle of our downtown.
And I think that's what's like,
yes, all last summer. It's whipping up and breaking our umbrellas, right?
And real quickly, one of the things that when I was talking, what I kind of sensed is now that the mall is gone, people have like a regret that there's not a mall here. So it's like, it's almost back when the mall was struggling, it's like, this is. Get rid of it and get something new. Again, it's hard.
We can't go back though.
It's right. Okay. You said phase one. What is the ultimate? Where do we stand here? What's the near future look like?
Yeah.
What can people expect downtown?
Yeah. So this year and into the beginning of next year, you can expect to start seeing construction with the new apartment buildings with T-Wall. So that's really exciting. WAZ is kind of leading that up, and the council agreed to support through tax increment financing. You'll be excited to see the Imaginarium, the Children's Museum.
Right.
I am so excited about that. But, you know, we're also starting to hear a little bit about what does phase two look like? Who wants to come in and build? What can we expect there? Again, even before we have the shovels in the ground for the first phase of the apartments. So we'll have apartments, we'll have ground level retail, we'll have some amenities there. So I think people will like what they see once it goes up. But yeah, I'm impatient too. And COVID seriously did not help us at all.
Right.
And stuff is expensive. So we're excited to move forward.
So there is interest in business coming downtown.
Oh yeah. And so one of the things that I've heard, you know, I talked to a lot of mayors about like, have you worked with T-Wall? What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they said over and over again was that they're really good at attracting national retailers or, you know, just good retails that are good fits for communities. So I'm excited about that. I don't have any idea of what that looks like yet, but I'm hoping something amazing.
I hope that helps.
And then on the Riverwalk, we're going to see more apartments too. So we're going to build housing.
Well, that's what my next point was about. Again, we've talked about that. It's one thing to have jobs available, but you gotta have to have housing available as well. Where do we stand with that? I mean, how much will these projects aid in getting us to where we need to be, and where do we need to be in terms of housing?
So there was a housing study that came out, and I think it was over the next 7 years. We need tons of apartments.
Right.
And it's countywide, so I don't know if it was 10,000 units. That seems like a lot, but we need a lot. But we're adding a couple hundred with the few projects that we have in the works already, so really important that we keep going.
And also affects rent.
Yes,
I mean, I know that's right now a huge issue.
Yep.
When these projects continue and get done, is the thought that rent prices will stabilize? Because right now they have been going up rather significantly.
Yeah, I'm certainly hoping so, right? We need at all levels those apartments and houses and, you know, single fam, everything. We need everything. But there's really a missing middle that we are trying to focus on too. So everything we're doing, we're thinking about, okay, what's next? What's the part that we're missing? How do we help get people into housing? How do we connect people? So yes, there's the missing middle. And, you know, I feel so bad when I hear my friends telling me their rent's going up $100 a month and they got 1 month notice. I mean, what do? You have to pay it.
I know.
It's really tough. And I was kind of whining, if I will say so myself, to our economic development director about this. And she said, you know, one of the things that we're seeing, you know, there are other places, and she named a city that I'm not going to name, but she said, you know, they're able to fix this problem and they have low rent prices because they're economically depressed. So you can thank your lucky stars that we're not economically depressed, but it is still really hard to hear people that can't get connected to housing.
And that's sometimes when stories come out that there's more to the story.
Yeah.
And I think maybe people are thinking about a story that I saw recently about renting in Wausau compared to another city in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, there's a lot of, I guess, layers to every story.
There are layers.
And especially when it's economics involved.
Right. And, you know, it's a regional approach, too. We need support from everyone across, you know, Marathon County, but central Wisconsin, too. We're all kind of facing the same issues. And, you know, we want to attract people here, too. And we need places for them to live.
Exactly. Job-wise, are we still in a good place, do you think? Job-wise?
You know, I think we still have plenty of openings for folks who are interested. You know, I've heard from some of our managers manufacturers that they're still looking for folks. But, you know, people are also able to be nimble. And if they don't love their job or even like it, they can go ahead and move on and find something they
do like.
Which
is fantastic.
It's good for workers. And they're able to negotiate their salaries. You know, stuff that we want to happen for them.
Yes. And because if workers have more money, they spend more money. Heck, and it helps all. I mean, again, it's... I think some of us have that kind of economic philosophy as opposed to the trickle-down philosophy. Philosophy, right?
Yeah, just trickle all around and flood it. I don't know.
Mayor, I appreciate it. I'm glad the weather did not get here before this afternoon. I know that you'll be keeping an eye on things here in the city.
Stay safe, everyone.
But again, we'll look forward to having you back next month.
Thank you.
Mayor Katie Rosenberg of Wausau. Again, great to have her on and join us each and every month. We have to take a break, but we're going to come back, recap where we stand with the weather. Again, we're expecting a foot and a half, maybe even a little bit more snow coming up. We will let you know where we stand as when you can expect the heaviest and just basics on the weather as we try to keep you up to speed here on Bow Falls Radio. I am Chad Holmes, back in a few moments on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. On Tuesday night, the Central Wisconsin Storm girls hockey team looks to move one step closer towards another state championship. The Storm will take on Hayward in a Sectional 1 sectional semifinal. Hear all the exciting action on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening faceoff at 7 p.m. Central Wisconsin Storm hockey on Bow Falls Radio is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Sun Printing, Barney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, the Wausau West Athletic Department, and Four Seasons Golf. It's the Central Wisconsin Storm meeting Hayward in a girls' hockey sectional semifinal. Tuesday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening faceoff at 7 p.m. On your home for high school sports, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
If you want me, you can find me left of center off of the strip. In the outskirts and in the fringes, in the corner out of the grip. If you want me, you can find me left of center off of the strip. In the outskirts and in the fringes, in the corner out of the grip.
Welcome back. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Thanks again to the mayor. Always great to have Mayor Katie Rosenberg join us for a couple of segments. Talk about whatever pops into my mind. I'm going to give you a little peek into how I do this show. So many people have, I think, everything scripted out. But whether it's this show, whether it's my sports show on Wednesday nights, I may have bullet points where I want to hit, but I bounce around. When an answer comes from a guest, if something pops into my head, I'm going to ask it. And sometimes it may be a silly question. Sometimes you may think, man, you should know that already. But I just think that's more interesting. And I'm going to share a little interesting tidbit about an interview guest I had years ago. I used to host a morning show on WXCO, and we would have on once in a while Senator Ron Johnson. And the thing about Ron Johnson, Katie Rosenberg comes in here and says, whatever you want to ask me, ask me. There's no limits. I can ask her a hard question. I can ask her a softball question, whatever. A fun question and a question that delves into public policy. Whatever it is, she's willing to answer it. Ron Johnson, when you set up an interview with the senior senator from Wisconsin, his staff will say, well, what do you want to talk about? And then I'll say what I want to talk about. And then they'll say, well, this is what the senator wants to talk about. If something I wanted to talk about was part of that, then I can ask it. But otherwise, they want to know in what order you're going to ask a question. And they're going to say, well, we don't want to talk about that. You can't ask about that. If I had the guts back then, I would have still asked about it. But Ron Johnson, at least with me, and I imagine with lots of what you would call smaller market radio stations. I know Wausau in terms of Wisconsin is a decent sized market, but with Ron Johnson, you had to ask what he wanted to talk about so he knew exactly what you're going to ask him. So again, I just appreciate folks that do come in here and are willing just to have a conversation. And that's what we want to do. We don't want it to be so stilted where it's just, and I shared with Mayor Rosenberg an old episode of The Simpsons where Mr. Burns was running for governor. And people thought, oh, man, Mr. Burns running for governor, come on. But Mr. Burns ran for governor. And in order to, it was a tight race, in order to get him over the top, he needed to show he had the common touch. So he was going to have dinner with the Simpsons. But they weren't going to allow Lisa to ask the question that she wanted to ask about the environment. They all had little index cards, and they gave index cards to Bart and to Homer and to Marge and to Lisa. You had to ask the question. And Lisa's question was, Mr. Burns, your campaign has the momentum of a freight train. What makes you so popular? She was just so depressed about it. And then, of course, the three-eyed fish came out there. If you remember that classic episode of The Simpsons. But again, it's just so much fun to be able to talk to our elected officials in a conversational way and try to give you a little information about what's going on. What is going on? Well, something is going on. We are in the getting ready here for a rather significant snow event. It's going to be a blizzard, in fact. I mean, we're going to get a lot of snow. Significant winter storm expected. Starting tonight, the first part of the storm will bring snow accumulations of 2 to 5 inches to much of the area tonight. The second or more impactful part of the storm will arrive during the afternoon or early evening on Wednesday, continue through Thursday. It looks like especially Wednesday night, overnight into Thursday, it's going to be exceptionally difficult to get around. So I think that's actually good news to have a lot of that snow come overnight on Wednesday. But still, into the morning drive on Thursday, be aware it could be very nasty as well. We have a winter weather advisory in effect from 6 p.m. this evening until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Then a winter storm warning that goes into effect from 3 p.m. Wednesday to 6 p.m. on Thursday. So it's a rather long winter storm event. Winter storm warning, 3 p.m. tomorrow until 6 p.m. Thursday. And again, don't forget that different municipalities are issuing snow emergencies. Mosinee snow emergency Wednesday from 9 a.m. until Friday at 9 p.m. Weston and Schofield, Wednesday from noon until Friday at noon. Wausau, snow emergency begins tonight at 6 p.m. until Friday at 3 p.m. Stevens Point, Wednesday from 2 a.m. until Friday at noon. Plover, Tuesday tonight from 6 p.m. until Friday at noon. Nakusa, Wednesday from 3 a.m. until Friday at noon. So again, anywhere here in central Wisconsin, this storm is going to hit the middle third of the state hard. This is really the area, this area, our listening area of Bull Falls Radio is the area that's going to be hit very hard with this snow storm. So we will keep you up to date. We will keep Weatherology very close by with further updates as we continue over the next couple of days. Dom and Mike coming up, starting at 4 o'clock, the Devil's Advocates right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And again, tonight we have high school hockey, the Central Wisconsin Storm taking on Hayward in a sectional semifinal, 6:40 for the pregame on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Also tonight, live online only, bullfallsradio.com, Sports 2 stream at 6:40, Marathon girls basketball in a regional quarterfinal against Nakusa. So plenty of high school sports, and again as well, coverage of primary election night on the stations of Civic Media on the Civic Media app.